We began yesterday discussing Nanuim, and we said that there were two approaches to Nanuim when we shake the lulav in six different directions. The Rush in the third parak of Sukkah quotes the Yerushalmi that Nanuim and Halel are kidei l'nanea kocho shel kategor. So this is a force that we're out to destroy those destroyers and adversaries who try to destroy us, try to trip us up and bring us down, the kategors, the various prosecutioners. And in a sefer called Menachem Tzion of the Rimnavar, he writes that we take the Dalet Minim, and what we do is, since Omdim Aleinu Makatrigim Harbe B'chol Dor V'Dor, what we do is we take the Dalet Minim and Nilchamim Bohem. We battle against them. Against the Makatrigim, against those of the 70 nations that stand up to try to destroy us, B'chol Dor V'Dor. V'adalet Minim Alolohem Klei Zayin Shalonu. This definition of the Dalet Minim as weapons, you know, reminds us of the famous Medrash that we don't know who was successful on the days of judgment, whether it was Klal Yisrael, whether it was the nations of the world. We go out on the 15th of Tishrei with our lulav. That's a symbol, that's a flag that we wave, that we, the people of Israel, were successful in this judgment against the nations of the world. And the Rimnava writes, Ubahem with the Dalet Minim Molech Umevi Malu Morid Shekol Mokom Sheish HaMakatreg Umastin Al Yisrael Kulam. And wherever, in every place, in front of us, on top of us, behind us, to this side, to that side, there's a Makatreg, there's a Mastin, a Satan, a power that's trying to bring down the people of Israel. Is Kulam Yiplu Tachas Raglenim, they all fall at our feet, v'lo yuchlu kum. So this certainly, the Rush in the name of the Yerushalmi and the Menachem Tzion supports that approach, that the Nanuim is there to bring to battle, if you will, and bring down our adversaries and those who try to destroy us, both physically and spiritually. On the other hand, we mentioned a different approach that would see in the Holocha and Hava and the Nanuim of the Lulav a more positive message, and Asei Tov, a message of Ava, not just Yiro, not just fighting a battle against our enemies, but we're also involved in something uplifting. We are coming close, Lifnei Hashem. And that's the opinion in the Gemara in Sukkah that reflects the fact that we are giving edus and testifying, Shekol Arberuchos, Shelo Yisbarach Shemo, that wherever you turn, there's God. He has dominion over all of all the directions. And we even mentioned Nafkamina, whether you need Kiskus. That was in our discussion of yesterday. And perhaps, as we indicated, the two approaches, whether it's to destroy those Makatrigim and those Ruchos, or whether or not it's to bring us closer to Hashem, is reflected in the Machlokas about Chibur Arava. Rashi's opinion seems to be that Chibur Arava is really just Nanuim. It's nothing aggressive. But we saw that there are many, many opinions that would have it that Chibur Arava is literally banging the Arava. And that's what we do. That's our minhag. Those who are Machmir will do Nanuim first and then bang later, secondly. And we spoke about the significance of the sequence. I'd like to read to you the language of the Beis Aaron that we mentioned yesterday, but we didn't see it bifnim. He says, Godol kocha shel chavitas harava lo rak lahamtik hadinim. It's not just to remove the negative din, the harsh judgment. Ela afla hosif bekum vasei shefa godol. Uboshana rabba yidei chavitas harava kolhu kidei lashpia chasodim ba'olam. To bring down chesed. So we're talking about a shefa godol. We're bringing down something positive. And perhaps that would reflect the Mandiyomer who says that what we do with the Arava, Chibud is not banging, but it means Nanuim. It means Nanuim as we do with the Dalad Minim. And we saw that Nanuim with the Dalad Minim, according to one Mandiyomer, is not Kineged HaMakatrigim, but it's to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a positive message, a positive experience. And we had a long discussion yesterday about the negative side to see in Chibud Arava some sort of destructive act, whether it's destructive of the various makatrigim. In fact, if you take a look at the Arizal in Shar Kavanos, based on the Zohar in Parshas Tzav, Hoshana Rabba Mevatlin, Hoshana Rabba Mevatlin, Kol Hadinim. It's a bitul Hadinim. We're fighting against the harsh judgment of Chavitas Chamesh Aravos. And it's very interesting that the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah on Daf Mem Hey, with regard to Mitzvah Arava, referring to a place called Motza, and that's where they went down to bring the Arava. So the Gemara says, "My Tamakor le Motza," and it says, "Aidi de Mefik Mikarga de Malka Kori le Motza." In other words, it was removed. That place, that area, location was removed from the mas, from the taxes to pay for the government, to pay the government, and therefore it's called Motza. Motza means mutza. It's removed from the Karga de Malka. And one of the greats of Mishpacha Sofer, the Tzetzoim of the Chassam Sofer in the Shir Ma'on, he writes about Hoshana Rabbah, that the remez of Karga de Malka, the Shmaya. And these are Yisurim, these are the sufferings that were decreed upon a person to suffer Nebuch in this world. But according to the Arizal, the Hoshana Rabbah has the power through the Chavitas Hei Aravos to be Mevatel, this Karga de Malka, this Mas, this Chov, this obligation, this debt that we have to be punished Nebuch and suffer anguish and Yisurim. And therefore, it was appropriate that they went down to a place called Motza to be Malakit Hoshanas, collect Hoshanas as a remez. Then on this day, we're going to be parted from the Karga de Malka. And the Sefer HaChinuch, of course, in Mitzvah Shin Chav Dalet, Arava Domei LePeh. And the remez is that we have to be Shomer the Peh. We have to be careful about our mouth from Lashon Hara, Rechilus. And if we do so, will be exempt from the Karga de Malka, from the tax and the Yisurim. And that's all included in this approach, that the Chavitas HaRova is against the Makatrigim, and that certainly is the approach of the Arizal, but we mentioned the approach of the Beis Aaron as an alternative approach. So we see both, to summarize an overview of what we've said so far, both in the cases of Nanuim during the entire course of Sukkot, and in the case of Chavitas Arava, specifically on the day of Hoshana Rabbah, the last day of Sukkot, we have two approaches as to whether or not we're dealing with a Shevi Altas, a destruction, where we're trying to be Mevatel and neutralize the power of the Makatrigim, or it's a Kumvase, it's a positive experience to bring down a Shefa, to bring down Chasodim, and to uplift us. Hashpoas Chesed. And perhaps we could suggest that these two approaches are both fundamentally anchored in tshuva, in the tshuva experience, the challenge of tshuva, and the two approaches, or the two categories and types of tshuva. In a typology, we would say two radically different types. There's tshuva miyira, tshuva miyava. But what are the differences between these two categories of tshuva? One category of tshuva, and the Rav spoke about this in his tshuva drashas, is called biur hara, to destroy evil. A person could actually cut himself off from the past, erase the past, so to speak. I'm a different person today. Whatever I did in the past, whatever sins, I want to cut myself off from those sins. Disconnect. The very thought of the evil and the guilt and the sin and all that it generated, the corruption and the contamination, the tumas chet, all that I want to cut off. I want to completely destroy it. Command the lesser dummy. It's an act of destruction. It's an act of cutting myself off today from what happened yesterday. That's biur hara. And that for sure is one approach to tshuva, one category of tshuva, one type of tshuva. If you'll take a look in the Ala Tshuva, then from pages 174 and on, he suggests an alternative approach to tshuva. It's not biur hara. It's not mechika, completely erasing the past. Like if you had a film, you know, from a camera, you want to completely destroy it. And that part of my past should be completely cut down and destroyed, but rather halas hara, not biur hara, but halas hara, not to create a hefsek and cut myself off from the past, not to destroy and erase the past and all its memories, but rather to identify with the past but have the past project me towards the future. It's more constructive. When the Torah says in Dvarim Chaf, when we go out to battle for many, many days against our enemy, there's an Isur Lo Tashchis Es Eitzah. We don't want to destroy. We want to somehow identify and use the past. It's not a new person, Eini Osa Ish, but rather it's a Hemshech. It's a continuation of the past. The past projects me into the future. And my tshuva is now, and my future is now built on the foundations of the past. How is that possible? That's called halas hara, to uplift the evil. Not to take the piece of bread and throw it into the water in Tashlich as an act of destruction. Maybe that's also in Yontif. But rather to take the piece of bread and give it to an ani. Use it for something constructive, for something purposeful. How do we use the past, which the Rambam describes as Meshukatz, Meruchak, Metuav, and now somehow without erasing the past and destroying it, become Ol V'Nechmad? And perhaps, as the Rav points out, memories of the past can sometimes project us into the future with a great deal of energy. All that energy that we used in the past, but it was misguided, can now be used in a positive way. We're not going to throw it b'metzulas yam. On the contrary, we're going to remember it. The zikaron achet is going to be the motivating force that gives me the energy, that gives me the kochos hanefesh. That's what the Baal Tshuva is about. Reish Lakish, who is the paradigm of Baal Tshuva, according to Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos Bava Metzia Pei Dalet, was, before he became a listim, a Talmud Chacham. Then he became a listim. And he went off to Derech, so to speak. Rabbi Yochanan brought him back. And the Baal HaTosfos says he became even greater than he was before the sin. How is it possible? How could a person possibly be better on a higher level after the sin than before the sin? And the answer is because the memory of the sin projects a person into his new role. We have two phrases. Sometimes the Torah speaks about over al pesha. Sometimes the Torah speaks about no se avon vafesha. No se avon, to lift the sin. And perhaps the two statements of Reish Lakish, one that tshuva is great because donos nasim lo kishgagos, the other because nasim lo kishchios, these two statements reflect Reish Lakish before he became a listim and after he was brought back. The first level is to cut off from the past, birara, but there's a higher level of tshuva, a more intense, profound, existential tshuva, that's tshuva me'ava. And the tshuva me'ava is something positive. It gives him an energy to continue from the past, projecting him into the future. That's called halah sara. That's the tshuva me'ava. And we remember the past, and sometimes the past projects us and energizes us into the future. The Gemara tells us in Brachos Mem Beis that when Rav died and the Talmidim were going basrei, which means they were escorting the coffin, Kihadri, on the way back after the burial, Amri Nezel Venechel, they said, now it's time for us to eat something. They sat on the Nair, on the river called Dank. And after they prepared themselves for eating, they had a suffix. Hesebu Dafka Tanan, Aval Yoshvu Lo, Dilma Keva, the Amri Nezel Venechel, Rifta Beduchta Planya, Kiesebu Dome. If they gathered together their bread and organized it together to sit together, and they said, you know what, let's eat together, let's break bread together, that's enough to create a chabur for a zimun. Or no, they have to actually eat together in one place. And that was the Gemara's suffik. The suffik of the Rabbanim on their way back from the funeral of Rav. Come Rav Ada bar Ava, and Rav Ada bar Ava did another kriya. When a Talmud loses a Rebbe, he's korea, he rips his garments, now he ripped it a second time. His first ripping was because his Rebbe, Rav, Rabban Shal Yisrael, Holach Lomomo, he died. And all the Torah of Adam Rav was dependent upon his great Rebbe Rav. There was no one who was in the league of Rav, who was even close. And now Rav Adam recognizes that he's bereft of his Rebbe. But yet, there was a second kriya. And the second kriya came from a recognition and acknowledgement of how great of a loss there was. That now Rav is gone and we don't even know the laws of Birkas HaZimun. That's how great he was. Now Rav Ada bar Ava and his colleagues realized, they apprehended that their Rebbe is gone, and therefore they cut a second kriya. And sometimes we can think about our Rebbeim, and those thoughts of the past will motivate us and project us into the future. We'll be able to think, what would my Rebbe say? Would he be happy? Would he get a nod of approval with my chidushim, my insights? Or would he say, nah, that's nothing? A person, in effect, when he sins, he lost his self. He lost his own personality, his neshama tahora, his pure standing in front of the Ribono Shel Olam. And now, as a result of the fact that he remembers the past, and he sinned, and now he wants to do tshuva, that longing, that nostalgia, so to speak, for the original status and tahara and purity of being a tzaddik, the memory and the longing for that is going to push him. It's going to push him forward. Like a person's lost at sea, and if a wave comes, can push him towards the shore, to safety. And perhaps these are the two different approaches, two different categories of tshuva that express themselves here on Sukkot with regard to Nanuim, where the Nanuim were simply moved to project ourselves forward, to be closer to Hashem, whether in Chibud HaRava we're bringing down a new Shefa, a new positive string of chesed, of chasodim, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or no, it's we're at battle against the Mekatrigim. We want to defeat, we want to destroy, we want to cut off, cut ourselves off from any contact with those mashpiim, those influences, those destroyers that surround us on six sides. And as we said before, in the Seder Olam, we quoted the Seder Olam regarding Hoshana Rabbah, Bonich Tomim Kol Hasvarim Kulon. It sounds like Hoshana Rabbah is for everybody. And why does everybody need Hoshana Rabbah? Why does a tzaddik need Hoshana Rabbah? He's already gone through Yom HaDin, through Rosh Hashanah, through Yom HaKippurim, the Chasima. Why now? But if we were to say and suppose that the Hoshana Rabbah adds a new element, that all of the minhagim that we have and everything that we observe and implement here with the Arava is bringing down a Shefa, bringing down Chasadim Gedolim, and uplifting us even further, that's something that could apply to every single Jew. And we all have to cry out and hope that our tshuva will be accepted on this day of Hoshana Rabbah. And we ask the question, why is it that all these menhagim, and basically the very essential nature of Hoshana Rabbah as it applies to each individual, as a great day of kapara, is completely concealed in the Torah Shebichsav? It seems that the Torah wasn't even aware of this. As we mentioned yesterday, the Torah thinks that any special observances on Hoshana Rabbah simply reflect the chasimas adin on the geshem, but not on a personal level. And if we would have assumed that Hoshana Rabbah is a day for those who are desperate, you know, the Arava Jews, Ein Bo Tam, Ein Bo Reach, if we're fighting against the Mekatrigim, and we're really trying to save those who have no merits, then that could explain why the Torah concealed it, because how many members of the Jewish people, what percentage of the population are Arava Jews? The Torah is addressing itself to Beinonim and above, and they have zchuyos. They perhaps were written already, guaranteed, signed and sealed on Yom Kippur for a year of success, health, etc., etc. But if we assume that Hoshana Rabbah is a great day for everyone, and we all need Hoshana Rabbah, we're all in the same boat. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zichrono Livracha, offers a new interpretation as to why the Torah concealed the nature of Hoshana Rabbah as a Yom HaDin. And he says that in the earlier generations, they were able to connect and integrate the Simchas Yontif of Esamachta B'Chagecha, which applies no less to the seventh day of Sukkot than it does to the first 6 days of Sukkot, with the aim of a Yira of the Yom HaDin, of Aryeh Sha'ag Milo Yira, and they knew how to be Maratzeh, the Borei Olam, with a Simcha Yisera, with Avuko Shel Or, and integrate that Simcha with Pachad and Yira from the Din. But as the generations went by, the fear was that if it's clear, if we reveal that the true nature of the day of Hoshana Rabbah is a Yom HaDin, a Yom of Pachad V'Yira, they won't be able to handle that in Simcha. And this will undermine the Simchas Yontif, the mitzvah of Samachta V'Chagecha. But at some point, the Chachamim made a decision that they need to save Klal Yisrael. And to do that, we need Klal Yisrael on board. They have to... Every last member of the Jewish people has to recognize the significance of Hoshana Rabbah, the Kedush Hayom, the Day of Din, of Pachad and Yira, and get on board here to do tshuva and achieve the successful kapara of Hoshana Rabbah, which we said is a great Hoshana, a great Yeshua. So this concept of Simcha mitoch Pachad, Pachad mitoch Simcha, that integration, which is very difficult, very challenging, which only the very early Doros were able to do, but at some point they had to conceal the Pachad V'Yira element of this day in order not to neutralize and undermine the Simchas Yontiva Samach Tavachkech. But now we are so desperate, we all must get on board, we need We need the Hoshana Rabbah, we need the Kapara, we need to understand the significance of this day. We mentioned the Rokeach, that the Kiddush HaChodesh, as either a Mole or a Chassid, was organized in such a way to try to avoid Hoshana Rabbah on Shabbos, because it's a day of Tefillah, Bakasha, Tchina, and we need that celebration, that observance of Hoshana Rabbah very desperately. You know, the mashal is of a person who sins against the king. He wasn't careful about the honor of the king, and they put him up against in front of the judges to decide what to do with him. And after a certain period of time, the judges were very solemn and serious about their judgment, back and forth. They came, B'Kovod Rosh, to a conclusion that he should be judged guilty with a punishment, a severe punishment. And the accused, now he's the Nesham, he starts sending Sanigoria, you know, those who are the defense attorneys, who are very experienced, to try to be Mishtadil, somehow, to be Mematik, the Gzardin. And he himself, the Nesham, just prostrates himself in front of the Shoftim, and he tells them that he made a grave mistake and he wants to correct his mistake. Please don't seal the judgment, the Gzardin, the terrible decree. And after a certain period of time, the judges declared, they were machriz, they made a public declaration of what the Psak Din is, that everything is ready. And at that point, it becomes nearly impossible to change the din, to get to be Mavakish Chanina, and to ask for a stay in the judgment, to change the judgment, to make a more lenient punishment. But even after the Ksav and the written document that has within it the Gzardin, nevertheless, there still is a possibility, although it requires a great deal of work, to change the situation, even though it's signed and sealed. And that's the Tchina in the Nimshal of Hoshana Rabbah. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Kiseh HaMishpat, the King of Kings, is sitting on the Kiseh HaMishpat, the throne of judgment. Kol Yoshvei Tevel over in the front of Kivnei Baron, Rosh Hashanah, they're written down. Yom Tzom Kippur, they are signed and sealed. But it's not a huchlat situation, it's not irreversible. It's still a possibility until the Ptokim are handed over on the night of Hoshana Rabbah to the executors, as we call them. Izakati yesh biyado lipol v'lischanein lifnei ha-melech sheyitin lo chanina. And this leads us to the story of the Friedrich Satmar Rebbe, Rabbeinu Yoel, Rabbi Yoel, and on Hoshana Rabbah, who was Erev Shabbos that year, and he was Marech B'Tfilah. It was already almost time for Shabbos. They made a declaration in the Beis Medrash that the women should go home to their quickly and be Madlik Neros before Shkia, before Shabbos. And the rest of the Kahal, the Kahal HaKadosh, stood there, and where they were pouring out their hearts, and the Rebbe said to them, B'derech Moshal, that it's like a situation of a city in which some of the members of that community rebelled against the king, the Shoftim in the Beis HaMishpat, the Gozrolem Kloya, and now they have no choice but to try to go to the king himself and beg the king for forgiveness, that he should overturn the Psak, the Gzardin. And it was known in that particular city that the king would come on a certain day. It's not clear how frequently, but anyway, he would come once a week, let's say once a month, and he would go in a certain direction. He would walk through the garden, a certain particular garden, and at that time, that's when it was possible to come close to the king and beg him with supplications for Chanina. But on one particular day, the Parnassim of the city, the Nechbadim of the city, the leaders of the city went to that Gina, to that garden, and they waited anxiously for the Melech to show up, and an hour goes by, 2 hours go by, the king didn't show up. But nevertheless, they continued waiting for the king. And now, evening is about to set, the sun is setting, they don't see the king and his whole carriages and so forth, and they got very, very sad that maybe they have nothing to be hopeful for. However, there was one smart guy amongst the group, and he had a great deal of bitachon. He said, the king definitely lives up to the standards, the requirements, the laws of that country. And if in this country he goes for tiyul on a certain day in a certain gina, then for sure there's no doubt he's going to be there. What we don't see him. Maybe he doesn't show up as a king. Maybe he's not dressed as in his royal garbs. Maybe he's going clandestine, undercover with begadim pshutim. But now's our chance to cry out to the king that he should be moshia us. And in the nimshal, the same thing is today. Says the Satmar Rebbe. We're looking for the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have to cry and cry and call out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Itanu, he's with us. Afal pi she'eino ro'eh, eino nireh be'einei basar v'dam. We can't see him with our physical eyes. And when we cry out on Hoshana Rabbah, Hoshia na, Avinu Atah, you're our Father, we know that you're here listening. We can't find you, we can't see you. But Avinu Atah. And we're going to rely on these tefillos that Hashem should save us. We are totally dependent upon Hashem. But again, the issue of this undermining our Simchas Yontif of a Samachta v'chagecha, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, maybe that's why we were very hesitant. Chazal were hesitant to reveal the nature of the day. Because who knows what kind of an impact it could have to undermine the Simchas Yontif. We try to give a certain meaning and significance to the minhag of Hasaras HaTabos, removing the rings from the lulav, in the shiur that we gave yesterday. I'd just like to add the Kedushas Yontif writes that when the neshama comes down to this world, and during the course of the year, the guf is in a sense, contaminates the neshama, causes the neshama a great deal of tzoros and sevel and yisurim. And one day comes by and the guf realizes that it's time to do tshuva. And for this he gives a mashal. And he tells the story of the son of the king, who goes wild, and he becomes very mischievous and rebellious, and the king has him exiled. He finds himself, the prince, in some sort of far-flung Medina, out where they don't appreciate anything royal or uplifted. And the Bnei HaKfarim received him begasus. There was a terrible interpersonal relations here, to say the least. And when he tried to explain that he's the son of the king, they were mevaza him. You know, you don't have such great credentials here. And when the prince tried to be sholet and molech aleihem, tried to use taksise malucha, they started beating him, and matzikin also, they put on him begadim tzayim. He was suffering tremendously, and he had such a gaguim, a longing for his father, so powerful, so intense. And how great was his simcha when after a certain period of time he found out that in just weeks down the line the Melech himself is coming to look for him, to visit him. The members of the Kfar also heard about the fact that the Melech was coming, and they knew that if the Melech would find out how they ma'olel, how they mistreated his son, they'll be punished severely. So they quickly took off the begadim tzayim and they were malbishim b'bigdei chamudos with kingly royal garments. They started respecting him as if he was a king. So when the king came, he was very happy to see how they were malbish his son b'bigdei yokar teferes. He was going b'derech tovim. And he decided, you know what, my son is doing very well over here, let's leave him here. And when the son found out about his father's decision to leave him here, he was broken, completely broken. He knew what would happen after his father left. So he decided that he's going to take off his beautiful garments and wear begadim tzoim and go into his father, the king, and reveal to him that this is levush, these are the begadim that they gave him for all the days of the year. He's mevakesh al nafsho b'tachnunim. And he says to the melech, I suffered sevel ve'inui from the Bnei Kfar. They're cruel to me. They punish me. They cause me affliction. Until finally his father understood what was going on and he took his son back home. And the Nimshal, says the Kedushas Yontif, is that when we, so to speak, soil the neshama in our guf, we understand at some point that the Yom HaMishpat, the Yom HaDin is coming, that the Melech Malchei HaMelochim is here to be Tovez Neshamas. And therefore, if a person does tshuva, he starts cleansing himself and purifying his neshama from any lichluch, any contamination. The Yom Noraim come, and with a sense of yira in front of the Adon Kol, the Almighty God, the Master of the Universe, he's mislavish b'begodim noim, levonim, tzachim, kesheleg. He presents himself in the best light, as if he's pure, as if he's white, completely clean of sin. And he declares, Baruch Shein Kvod Malchuso L'Levoyet, like the Malach Asharis. However, the Neshama itself knows very well that all these actions are only temporary. They're only because the Melech is coming b'mishpat. And after days will go by, the Guf is going to go back l'suro, Yachzor Aguf l'suro. And this is the basis for Hasaras HaTabas at the time of the Tefillah of Hoshana Rabbah. It's a simon. It's a gili das that we are mitztayer misonanim, that we have soiled our neshama, our holy pure neshama. Anu ein anu maspik shurim vagudim lemelech kel chai v'kayim. And therefore we're gonna so to speak strip ourselves of these beautiful ornate rings. And we're going to be lovesh begodim tzayim. We're going to do tshuva and say vidui. And we're going to be modal lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'charot al ha'avar, b'kabal al ha'osid. That from now on we truly will be better. And then we yell out, Hoshana! This is the time of Hasaras Tabas, when a person is ma'or b'tshuva shlema. And in the previous shiur we mentioned the Imrei Noam of Parmishela, Rabbeinu Meir Alevi Haaretz Parmishela, and he compared it to the pasuk of Vayosar Melech Es Tabato. You see, in a sense, when you give chanina, when you compassionately overlook the sins and the iniquities of the Arava Jew, it's almost an implied insult to the tzaddikim, because why did I work so hard to be a tzaddik if I could have gotten off the hook? You know, remember that medrash that we quoted, the Otsar of V'chanosias Asher Achon? What do I need all this work for? It's an insult to the tzaddikim. And therefore, I believe the Imrei Noam is interpreting the Hasaras HaTabas as Kisval Yehudim, give it to the tzaddikim. They themselves are in their own lives and their actions judging, and not favorably, the Arava Jew, but now they have a right to say, well, we are mochel in this insult, so to speak, of giving chanina to those who don't deserve it, and we're stepping aside. And in that sense, we are given the tabos into our hands, and we want to use that for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. Like the mashal of the Chassidish Rebbe who goes up to heaven and he asks if he could see the other place. They take him for a little bit of a tour of the other place and he says, well, I'm not leaving here unless I can take everyone with me to Gan Eden. So they said, you know what? if you have X amount of schuyos, for every schus we could take one person out of Gehenna, and he had so many schuyos, it covered everybody that was in Gehenna. But that's the tzaddik who gives himself up in a serious nefesh for the sake of the klal. Now, after Hoshana Rabbah, obviously, we have Shmini Atzeres. We're already very close to Avinu Shebashamayim through our experience of Hoshana Rabbah. And the din is over. Now we begin the period of brachos. That's Shmini Atzeres. And Bnei Yisrael are coming in front of the Melech to receive the brachos for the entire year. And the simcha is incredible at that point. And it's again only the Jewish nation that achieves this level of simcha, that receives the brachos from the Melech. And that's why Shmini Atzeres is unique and exclusive to the people of Israel, to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yoshev Levadu Im HaMelech. A person who gets to sit personally, you know, exclusively, Yechidus, with the Melech is Kol HaOlam, Beritzona Yevakesh Vimale Bakoshos. So at that point, he can beg the king for anything and ask for anything. So the Rambam Mipanau, who wrote philosophical works, one of which is called the Chikra Adin, says that the language of Chag, the word Chag, is singularly reserved for a chuga and an eagle. As if chag means a round dial or a circle, and what's the nekuda pnimis merkazis, what's the central nekuda in the middle of the circle? That's Shmini Atzeres. So all the chagim, so to speak, dance around Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is not called a chag, because all the other Yom Tovim are the Chag, that the Sovim as Nekudas HaShmini Atzeres, they go around and around, but the middle point of this circle is Shmini Atzeres. It's the Kedush El Yonah Michol HaKedushos. It's a Kedush that's even greater, supersedes that of Yom HaKippurim, and therefore don't call it a Chag. And the Chasam Sofer in his Roshes for Sukkos says that the Kedusha of Shmini Atzeres is fundamentally, essentially different than that of Yom Kippur. The Kedusha of Yom Kippur is through Inui Nefesh, whereas the Kedusha of Shmini Atzeres is Al Yidei Simcha. And I'm wondering out loud what the Chasam Sofer would say about Purim. Is it perhaps true that Yom HaKippurim is Kippurim, but not as great as Purim? Purim is the day of Simcha, but now we talk about Shmini Atzeres as the day of Simcha. For Yisa Ach Samech, Ach is a ribui for Shmini Atzeres. And in Shir HaShirim it says, "My yofit u'manam tahovim v'tanugim, ki avas Hashem al yidei inui, k'mo b'yom ha-kipurim, lemato mimadregas avas Shmini Atzeres shehi al yidei simcha." The level of ava that expresses itself in inui, in the afflictions of Yom HaKippurim, is on a lower madriga than the Ava that expressed itself on Shmini Atzeres through Simcha. And therefore the Kedusha of Shmini Atzeres is even greater than that of Yom HaKippurim through the vehicle of Simcha. Chedvasa de Malkasa Am Yisrael. And according to some Sofer, Shmini Atzeres is radically different than all the other Moadim, all the other Kedushos, Omeres al Dvar Mitzvah. There's always a Dvar Mitzvah, whether it's Pesach, Korban Pesach, Matzah, etc. On Shavuos we have the Shtei Lechem, on Rosh Hashanah the Shofar, on Yom Kippur we have the Mitzvah of Inui Nefesh, V'Nisem, and for all the days of the Chag we have Netilas Lulav, sitting in Sukkah. And he says the following. That's all with regard to the other Moadim. Amal Kedusha Shmini Atzeres Eina Ela Al Yedei Simcha Sa'odom Shemisanig Al Hashem V'chadvasa Yisparach V'eino Omer Al Mitzvah Miyuchedes. There's no mitzvah at all in Shmini Atzeres. It's pure Simcha. That Kedusha of Shmini Atzeres puts Shmini Atzeres on such a high level.
In Breishis, Perek Mem Hei, V'lo Omad Ish Ito Bisvada Yosef El Achiv, El Achav, the Zohar makes a comment, V'shosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misyachid Im Bnei Yisrael, Ein Shar Umos V'amim Yecholim Likones Imam. So when Klai saw together the Yechidus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, none of the other nations can come in. They have no access. The game bekach, and therefore b'yom hashmini atzeres tia lochem, ki b'zman hazeh nimtza shakadosh baruch hu b'chabura achas im v'nei yisrael levadom. So we have this yechidus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on shmini atzeres exclusive v'od, and furthermore with regard to the osid lovo. And again, the Zohar's words are embellished by the Sfasemes. Is kedusha shmini atzeres ke'en Tuliyosid Lovo. It's like the end of days. So the Kedusha of Shmini Atzeres is generated by the Simchas HaOdom Shemisagil Hashem VeChedvaso, but he's not involved in any specific mitzvah, but rather his closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ramban in his Pirush HaTorah explains that we don't take the Esrog on Shmini Atzeres. Hadar, the description of Priyates Hadar, now applies to the person himself. He becomes the Esrog. Perhaps this Ramban would shed light on the fact that with regard to all Sholosh Regolim, the Torah says, Yera kol zchurcha v'lo yera es p'nei Hashem reikam, but with regard to Shmini Atzeres, unlike the other Moadim, where Hashem doesn't want man to come into the Beis Hamikdash with Yodav Reikonis, here, coming into the Beis Hamikdash to be Mekabel Pnei Shechina, you don't need the Ritzi Karban. Because the very fact that you, as a Jew, are the Esrog, you are the manifestation of a Ben Yisrael that wants to come to Aviv Sheshamayim, that itself is the matir, so to speak, to come into the Beis Hamikdash. That's the Simchas HaOdom. And the Medrash gives a mashal of a Melech Shezimen Esponav L'Suda L'Kach V'Kach Yomim. The king extends an invitation to his children to join him at a banquet, a kingly banquet for so many and so many days. Kevin Shigir's manably potu, and it's time for them to go. Omar declares, Bonai, my children, Bivakoshimichem, I ask you, Ikfui mi odyom, please stay with me one day, Koshelai Pedaskan. And Rashi quotes this medrash on Chumash. Par Echad, right? Appears. This is the Yontif, Kimishtokikim, Vieshlem Rotzol Lachos by Yontif. Atzeres tielachem, atzeres meaning holding on, not being nifrad, not to leave your friend for one more day. The kesher is such a profound one. And according to the Avodas Yisrael, this is a day in which we can ask for Eis rotzel lekabel shefer rav kol man deboy shoyel. You know, whatever you want to ask for, you could ask for. So Eis rotzel, we should be zochem mitz Hashem to a fabulous and powerful, significant, meaningful Shmini Atzeres, and should be zochem to see all these days that we celebrate not only project us forward towards Avinu Shabashmai, but also to see the full fulfillment at the time of the building of Beis Hamikdash. Amen.